Hi, my name is John Kim. I'm a therapist who went through his own rebirth many years ago, and I've been documenting my journey ever since, sharing my life lessons and revelations. I believe in casual over clinical, with you instead of at you. I come unrehearsed on purpose because self-help doesn't have to be so complicated. Okay, so before we begin, just a so my consent form is verbal, and it's basically acknowledging that you guys are doing this, of course, to share your story and help other people, and then it'll be a series on my podcast as well as YouTube and some clips on social.
Yeah,
awesome. Okay. I am a little different as far as a couples therapist in that I wear the hat of a relationship coach and, of course, with a clinical background, being a therapist, I tend to be more direct. So I don't know how that's going to land for you guys. We have 50 minutes and I'm very I think that the time is precious. So I don't assume that you guys are coming back. So what I mean by that is I don't just assume that this is going to be 50 sessions and we'll, I try to get to the root of things as fast as I can. But you direct me, let me know if like, dude, relax or the pacing, because it's your session, not mine.
Okay.
Cool. All right. Yeah. Where do you guys want to start? I always let the clients lead. If you guys, pick who wants to speak first, and you can either go directly into some of the issues you guys are having today, or give us some broad strokes of how you guys met. Whatever you want to do.
I will start if that's okay with you. We had a baby 9 months ago. So it's our second baby.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we're old. Like, we're not older, but we're considered older in the Western mm-hmm. world of becoming
yes.
parents. So I'm 40 and Sean's 49. And mm-hmm. I was telling Sean this past Christmas that I really struggled with becoming a parent in this stage because I'm sort of in this liminal space in which my identity with the social circle I've come to know my whole life is really hard to identify with because either their kids are grown or
right.
Maybe they're, have a lot more freedom. Mm-hmm. And I have got one foot in that world and another foot in the world where I'm like trying to identify myself in a village of mommies that I don't really know, but are in the same parenting stage as I am. Mm-hmm. And I guess the long short of that is in that liminal space, I really feel a lot of grief because mm-hmm. it's shifted the perspective through which I view my life.
Yeah.
Even elements of our relationship, I feel like I grieve because no one ever talks about the grief of becoming parents. Like, there's
yeah.
a lot of joy, don't get me wrong. But also, when you're doing it when you're older, it's just, I can't compare because we didn't start this young, but it just feels a lot different. And because I have a different emotional capacity in my 40s into my mm-hmm. late 30s, 40s, when we started having kids at 30, I was 37. I just feel like my whole worldview is shifting too. So not only is there a level of parenting and relationship, but there's also worldviews and social conditionings where I feel like the world as I know it is sort of being obliterated. And that's really hard for me because I don't know where I fit. And it makes, you could feel it. I feel it in my throat. Like, it mm-hmm. almost makes me choke up because I feel a little bit lonely there.
Of course. By the way, what you're talking about is very common. And, I have a kid. Vanessa is actually your age. She's actually writing an entire book on this. But what you're talking about, this generational thing with us being parents now, it's very difficult. Something that people are not talking about. So let me ask you this. How is that? How is your state, where you're at, your identity? Also now having a 9-month-old now, child number two, how is all of this impacting the relationship? So let me ask Sean, how is it impacting the relationship?
I don't know. I don't really know how it's impacting it, but I can feel and sense a lot of her frustrations, I guess,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And with that, I don't know what to do except like just do what I can as like provider and protector, like go to work and put a roof over our head and put food on the table.
Mm.
And then sometimes when I come home, I can tell she's frustrated because she is attached to the kid and she has no time to herself to even like shower sometimes, or let alone like she sees her friends out having dinner dates and coffee dates, and she can't do that. And I sense her frustrations and I feel like helpless in the sense where I can't.
Who's doing most of the parenting at home with the kid? I'm assuming the other kid's in school.
Daycare.
Right. With the 9 month old, so Sean, are you working from home? Are you going to work?
No, I'm going to work.
Gone.
I'm gone. I'm gone for long extended time sometimes, like 24, 38 hours at some points. I'm a firefighter, so I do shift work. So sometimes I've gone through the night or all day.
Yeah.
And then I'll come home and she's kind of frazzled. I can sense it.
Sure.
You know, she's like, she just wants 10 minutes on her own. And
then because she wants 10 minutes on her own, does that become conflict? What is happening?
No. Maybe with child one, I didn't, like with child one, it was definitely conflict where I've heard a lot of like I don't even like to repeat it because it hurt me so much. Like, I can do this without you. That those kind of statements coming from where she was emotionally at that time.
Mm-hmm.
With child number two, I like to think I've learned and grown a lot by avoiding conflict, by being able to stand with her storm, I guess, in a way, in a sense, where before I would take things personally, but now I don't. I know it's coming from a place of like, she just needs support emotionally.
Right.
Child number one, it was different. Child number two, I understand a lot more. And I try to give her a lot more as far as like the freedoms to have a shower, for example, you know? Because before it was always competition. I'd be like, but I'm off at work. I come home. I just want to, you know, relax or whatever, but there's no relax.
Both of you guys want your own time, and then so you're fighting for it.
It's like competition, but now I don't see it like I see it like I'm going to try to support her as best I can with
right. Let me ask you this, Jenny. Do you have resentment or anger from the experiences of child number one? Because it sounds like to me with child number one, you know, since it was a first experience, and then, you know, Sean telling me that you guys were fighting over personal time, which is very common. It's precious. We lose that when we have children. Is there anger or resentment you think on your side from that experience that have kind of rolled into now child number two?
I feel like as Sean's speaking, I hear him saying, you know, I try to give you more of the freedom, and like, I want to commend him because I see his desire for growth and like expanding his own capacity for holding space for me. Do I hold resentment? I don't really think it's resentment, just the mere fact that like, I have used the language, like, you just don't get it. Like, you'll just never get it because physiologically we're built different. And so, so when a man is sick or if he's tired, like it'll never be as tired or as sick as I feel when I'm sick or tired. And I know that's, it's a dangerous game to play because it falls into like scorekeeping or being being comparative, but it's not even resentment. You know, we had a date night the other night, and what he was saying earlier about like, I could do this alone. I used a lot of that language before. I was like ready to make plans and leave because I was so frustrated with things I just didn't have the bandwidth for. And now we've gotten to a place where we could go to date night and I can like feel with that feeling and witness it and say like, I feel like I want to leave you. But I know that that's just an exponential expression to like an extreme feeling that I'm feeling right now. But I know that that's not truly like, that is such a charged up thing to say.
Yes.
Because I haven't had time to like decompress from the frustration or the, you know, resentment, you could call it, that I feel in the moment. And it's not even necessarily directed at Sean because he has to work. He's the sole provider of our home. Mm-hmm. And I'm so thankful we have that. But it does come down to like self-responsibility on both sides where we can name what we're feeling. And that's where sometimes we struggle with, but also parts we've gotten really good at.
If you pull back and look at your guys' story, how long have you been together?
Not long, like 5 years. 5 years.
Okay. Yeah. Sure. So things. And how does your first?
He's going to be 3 in February.
Okay. So I mean, you know, things moved relatively quickly, right?
Yeah.
Met 2 years, had a kid.
Yeah, and we didn't start off. I was going to say we didn't start off that way. Like very ambivalent on his part. But yeah, considering how ambivalent it was, it moved pretty fast.
Yes. Do you hold anything, or whether it's consciously or maybe you're unconsciously, that you're aware of or not? I mean, I guess if you're not aware of it, but you may be aware of it because it shows up subtly. His ambivalence in the beginning, are you holding on to any of that? Has that been resolved, or is that also a crack in this relationship container?
I want to say consciously, I've resolved it, but mm-hmm. I will tell you, I still have recurring dreams where yeah. he leaves, like he's yeah. abandoning our family. But I wake up and some days it feels so real. And other days I'm like, I can't believe I felt that, because like in our lived life together, he doesn't give me any, like, I don't feel that at all.
Well, you know, I was thinking because here's a dot to connect. If your body, right? So whether you're having dreams or it's underneath, and logically you may have gotten past that, but if your body feels fear that he may leave, a comment like, I can do this without you, even if it comes out of nowhere, it kind of makes sense. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I can do this without you implies that I don't care if you're going to leave or not, or it implies that you're going to leave. Like there may be a false belief that you have inside that is creating comments like that. And if you're maneuvering from that state, there's going to be fear here. And then also aligned with anger, resentment, and this person could possibly leave at any time. You know, that kind of like a little bit of survival state instead of a calm and groundedness and safety in this.
Yeah. And yeah. If I can just like give a little background, because we're both previously married and divorced, and her ex had cheated and lied to her and emotionally abused her. So
sure. Yeah.
When she tells me these dreams, she's almost telling them, like, she's almost accusationally like, this is what you did in my dream. I'm like, okay, that's your dream. But I show nothing that would ever lead me to believe that I would do anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I do know that she had been treated like that in the past. So maybe there's like momentum with that old relationship that's coming into ours. I don't know.
Yeah. Jenny, did you ever process it seems like the relationship was abusive, obviously.
That was like 7 years ago. And it wasn't my ex-husband. It was a relationship after my ex-husband.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I've done a lot of work to process that, because when I look back now, I just wonder, like, how on earth could I have spent so much time being with someone that was so emotionally abusive?
Yeah.
But does it trickle into my life now? Yeah, I still have like dreams of even him where it's just like, why does he still, you know? And in the dream, though, I will say I'm leaving him in the dream, and it feels good to leave him in the dream. But I never even would think that that would intersect with Sean and I's relationship.
Let me ask you this, Jenny. What do you need? What do you need in this marriage? Like current? Wait, are you guys married?
No.
Not married. Okay. What do you need in this partnership right now? With where you're at, kid number 2, 9 months. You know, he's a firefighter, so he's got that extreme schedule. What do you need for yourself in this relationship?
You know, mainly I think it's just like safety, support, and I want to feel like seen from the lens of like our humanness.
Okay.
Like, I've had moments where I've broken down and cried, and like Sean will just kind of be like a deer in headlight, and we've kind of unpacked that too, but his reaction or non-reaction made me like lose it even more.
Yeah,
because I'm like,
I get it.
Like I'm so sad and I'm so heartbroken over like it was over what's going on in the world, but I didn't know how to process it, and it just came out one day with the wars. As a mother, it just hits different. Like as a human, it just hits, right? And
yeah,
so
yeah,
you know, and I kind of, I almost in that moment vilified him.
Mm.
But like, he's not the enemy. Right. But I was just, it made me so sad because I was like having this moment. And in that moment, I just needed my partner to look me in the eyes.
Mm.
And I didn't need a solution. I didn't need an answer. I just needed him to say, like, I see you're hurting. Can you do me a favor?
Can you turn to Sean and tell him, I know he's in the room and he just heard this, but can you turn to Sean and look him in the eyes and tell him what you need? Keep going with what you're saying, but look at Sean and say it instead of me.
Yeah, I just feel like in moments like that, when I'm really breaking down, or when you could even sense I don't have the bandwidth to like say things in a kinder way, is like, if I can't find the grace, I kind of need you to give me some in that moment. And just to like see me through the eyes of like just a human that is struggling. Mm-hmm. And that's it. And what would you say to any human that's struggling that you just met on the street, let alone like someone you love, you know, like, because I see the way you treat people and you're very kind and you're compassionate. But sometimes I feel like maybe because you've come off shift that you don't see how tired I am. Because you're tired too. So I really struggle with that. And So I just want to feel more seen and held in that space. Like, no answers, no problem solving. Just, it's okay as you are. And I got you.
So Sean, respond to that, looking at her, not me.
I hear what you're saying. And I apologize. Like, I do feel bad that I couldn't have met you, and sometimes I don't, because I am raveled up in whatever happened in my own day, and the whole point of like seeing you as a human. I do tend to, when I hear you, I tend to want to fix whatever the result, and it's so hard to get away from. It's like it's ingrained and wired in. So I guess I can try to like just understand what you're feeling as opposed to like fix it.
Yeah, like sometimes I don't even need you to understand it.
When you say, should I use to meet me with grace, other than.
I just mean like with kindness, with more space, just space in your arms. Like just, wow, she's really having a hard time. Like maybe just ask me, do you want me to hold you right now? Or do you want me to fix this, or do you want me to hold you? Like, you know, you can ask me that. Instead of just a deer in headlight reaction where I feel like I'm talking to a wall and then I feel even more alone.
Trying to process, like, how can I fix this?
And Sean, listen, what you're, the knee jerk that you're talking about isn't just you. This is a generalization, but I think most men default to wanting to fix. What she's asking for is not for you to wear the cape, but to hold space, to be there. To say, hey, listen, I'm not you, but I understand, or I'm trying to understand what you're going through, and it must be difficult. I'm gone all day. You're here alone. You've got two kids. Like, and you're not saying that you're not contributing, right? She's not also saying that you're not doing your half or anything. I think what is happening is she's feeling invisible. And also with what's going on with her relationship with self and identity, you know, compounded by motherhood, society, she needs to be seen, heard, understood, right?
Yeah. As she was saying that, I kind of got this image of like how I would treat my son, Koa. If he was upset or hurt or feeling down, I wouldn't try to fix him. I would literally just pick him up and say, it's okay, son.
That's such a great exercise. Yes, that's exactly. And it's really interesting how we can do that with our kids, of course, but then when it's our partner, because with our partner, there's, you know, there's ego, there's residue, there's other stuff that has happened, there's history, there's blame. But, you know, when we look at our kid, there's nothing but just pure, right? Like, there's no ego with your child. You're like, and especially if your child is in need of something that is foundational, you're not going to be like, well, what was my child nice to me yesterday? Like, I mean, you're just going to be. Yeah. And so,
no fixing. I just want him to feel my love, like, young adult, like, just full on. I'm here for you, son. And I think, like, that going back to like when I would, like, when first
Wait, I'm sorry. Can you guys speak just a little bit louder? Because I have a microphone. You guys don't.
Sure. Yes. I think going back to, I remember like a lot of our arguments would be, I would come home from work and everything else would be, I would ignore everyone, including her, and just go right to my son. I'm a new father and I was so in love with my son that I often would literally forget her. So I think a lot of our problems would stem from that. She became invisible in a sense when I had my first child.
Oh, wait, let's talk about this. How did you forget her? How did you forget her? Describe what happened.
I would literally come home from work and the room would be filled with like her parents maybe or someone, or even just her and Koa, our son. And I would come home and say, hi, Koa, and give him a big hug and not even acknowledge her.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
For a while, until she absolutely made it crystal clear, like, hey, I'm here too.
You know? Sure.
And I realized what I was doing. I caught myself. But yeah, that just came up when I used that as son, like that example of what would I do with my son if he was feeling the same way.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't do it to her.
So Jenny, does Sean still do that where he enters rooms and doesn't acknowledge you? Or has that changed? Has he made an effort to change?
It's significantly improved. But
nice.
I'm a huge proponent that like you're not a mind reader. So if he forgets, I'm going to tell him. I'm not going to wait to get severely upset to tell him. Like, I'll just tell him in the spot. Like, we've gotten good at speaking our minds. That's like something like a policy
we
welcome here. But, yeah. You know, it's not all we're human. We fuck that up.
Yeah, but of course. Yeah,
he has gotten a lot better at that because it makes me feel like chopped liver. I'm like, dude, I kept our family alive all day. Mm-hmm. Like, you're saying hi to Koa, hi to Leilani, and like, and then he makes a couple rounds of our place, and I'm like,
"I'm here.
I'm here. Hello."
Yeah. And back then, I didn't really understand. Like, I was so enamored with being a father that I was focused on being a father and not a good husband. And now I realize I didn't then that I realize our capacity to be great parents is always going to be limited by our capacity to be loving to each other.
Yeah. What a great reminder.
Yeah.
And so,
I didn't know that. I was totally blind to that before.
Yeah, that's a huge revelation, man. And also, I mean, you know, I'm also, you know, a husband and father as well. So just being reminded of that myself. And so Jenny, we know what Jenny wants, right? So Jenny wants to be seen, heard. She wants to be acknowledged, you know. She does a lot of work. She's in a stage right now where as a mom, also hormonally, all the stuff that's happening inside, she probably feels very alone in this, right? Sean, let me ask you this. What do you need right now?
My first instinct is to say nothing because I have a hard time asking.
I know, you laugh like it was ridiculous, but that tells me that you're probably someone who doesn't think about that, what your needs are. Yeah. So
yeah,
exactly. Think about it. What are some of your needs right now?
From Jenny in particular?
Yes. From her, from the marriage, from life. What does Sean, going back to your exercise with your child and kind of like how you would respond to your child is the way that you want to respond with your partner. Imagine the Sean that's not, I don't know how tall you are. You look very tall, 6'1", firefighter. And imagine the Sean that's 12. I don't know your childhood or your story, but imagine the Sean that's 12 and pull from that. Ask that Sean what he feels he needs right now in your life.
Yeah, that's good. I want to be appreciated and feel like, yeah, appreciated is a big one. Like that, I'm worthy of everything. That I'm worthy of your love. That I'm expected.
Is there a part of you that feels that you're not worthy of her love?
Sometimes I feel like she doesn't see all the things that I do behind the scenes or even in the scenes, you know. And I don't get maybe acknowledgement or like that appreciation for it. And I almost feel petty even asking for that, you know, because I know she's going through things that I can't ever even comprehend as far as like bringing in children to the world and nurturing them during the stages where they absolutely need her. you know, and I have to say, like, I can't breastfeed. I wish I could, honestly, to relieve her sometimes. But so I almost feel selfish even asking for these things to be acknowledged, just for doing what a father and a husband should do. But he's a good man.
As practice, I want you to turn to Jenny and I want you to tell her what you feel you need. There's going to be a part of you that's like, well, what am I saying? Yeah, you're right. There's going to be a part of you that feels guilty or what, you know, minimizing yourself. And listen, this is the lab, right? We are experimenting. We are playing in a sandbox. Yes, this is real life, but this is the kind of space that we can do this in, right? Hopefully you guys feel safe. So turn to Jenny and just pulling from that 13-year-old, Sean, what do you need? You know, it sounds like to me you've been very busy. So obviously, I know you guys have those crazy schedules. You guys are on kid two. Both of you guys are very busy and also going through inner journeys, identity, all this other stuff, I'm sure. So it's very hard to kind of step away from that and ask ourselves what we need. So tell Jenny what you feel like you need.
I do feel kind of silly saying this, but like, I want to be acknowledged for all the things that I do, and I want to feel like I add value to them, that that I'm appreciated and I'm respected. Mm-hmm. And it's not like I don't, but I feel like sometimes a lot of the things that I do for this family maybe goes unseen or overslighted because of whatever. I don't know what I'm assuming. I just wish that it would mean a lot to me if I could know that you know that I care so much about you and the family, and that I'm doing everything I possibly can to make this work, to give our children what we never had. And sometimes I feel like I'm like, what I do is lost.
Mm-hmm. Jenny, what's your response to that? How do you feel as he's asking for these needs? What comes up for you?
Oh, you know, like it feels heavy in my heart for him. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, we live our life and we're busy and we think we're validating our partners, but I didn't know I wasn't enough in the way that you need it. And your needs are totally valid, you know, and I may not show you that in the way that you recognize and receive it. So let me know what that feels like for you. Let me know what that looks like for you. Is it more words of praise, or is it, you know, carving out more quality time for us to be together and like show each other appreciation? Because I want to give that to you. I feel like because we love each other so much that there's always space to augment our love. I might not always have the bandwidth to automatically know what that looks like, or I might know how to give you that in the way that I like to receive it, you know, but that doesn't always mean you're ready to receive it in the way that I do. So don't ever feel like you can't come to me and tell me that, because I feel like this is the first time I'm hearing it in this capacity, in this depth. So I am here just as much as you are for me, and like just like you are, we are there for our kids. Like it starts with us, and I have that door is always open. Your love is so appreciated here. And I feel everything too. That's amazing, you know. Like
I want Sean to answer your original question. So what does it look like? So Sean, you expressed what you needed. So give us some examples. What would that look like in real life, everyday life?
So like simple, really. Like just grab my hand and say, I want to thank you for everything you do. It's not unseen. I see that you're trying. I see that you're going to work. I see that you're cleaning up. I see that, you know, that you're trying.
Okay. And then Jenny, I want you to give examples because you feel unseen. Give us some kind of like, you know, street level, everyday examples of what you need. So him not fixing it, that's one.
yeah, you're not fixing it and just asking, like, how am I doing today? Mm-hmm. How are you, babe? How's your day? You know, it's always, how's the kids? How's Leilani? How's Koa? But, like, how are you? And, you know, sometimes in the morning, it would mean so much to me if I didn't have to ask you to come get the kids and just take them so that I could breathe for 10 minutes all by myself.
Oh, man.
And, like, when you're getting the kids ready to give me time, like, do the things, like, do all the things. Don't ask me where things are. Just use your eyes. And so I don't have to, like, take that extra time to tell you where things are because you know where they are. You know, it dances between a line of wanting to be seen and heard and also this insatiable desire for just a little bit of freedom. And I'm not asking for a lot, but once in a blue moon, like an hour to myself, the mornings, take the kids when you can kind of thing. And I will say, like, I'm as...
Wait, one second. I'm sorry. So wait. I just want to make sure that, Sean, so what do you think about what she just... What do you think about her ask? If you could speak a little bit louder. What do you think about her ask? Is it too much? Is it not realistic? Be honest. How do you feel about what she just asked of you?
I think it's very reasonable. Mm-hmm. Absolutely reasonable.
Yeah.
Yeah. For me to take that little bit of initiative in the morning to allow her that space in the morning, for sure. To check in with her, ask her how she's doing, as opposed to always, like, how are the kids? You know, prioritize you instead of always the kids. And trying to create gaps in the day where you can have quality yourself to do whatever you want or need to do when I can.
I want to give you guys mantras. This is going to be very helpful throughout the week because we can forget about the conversation. We can think like, oh, we had this session, we hit some notes, but it was vague. Like, what do I actually do tomorrow, right? So in its simplest form, Sean, when you're thinking about Jenny throughout the week, know that what she wants is to be seen, doesn't want to feel invisible. What you do about that is on you, right? So it could be something very subtle, like she's saying, helping with mental load, or instead of her asking for something, you know, let's say you go engage and play with the kids or do whatever. It's going to be in little moments, right? Little life moments. And then her seeing those moments is going to make her feel like, oh, fuck, he sees me today, right? And it's going to take a lot of those coins in that piggy bank to build trust and feel grounded and safety. And then it's going to change the dynamic of this relationship. So your mantra is, how can I contribute to Jenny being seen more? She feels invisible right now in her life, right? And of course, it's not all on you. There's a lot of stuff happening. But as her partner, how can I make her feel seen more? And some days you're going to do amazing. Some days you're going to have your own stuff and your own stress. You're going to do a poor job, right? That's just being human, right? So if that's your mantra, Jenny, what is the mantra for you with Sean? When he told you what he needed, what would be the sentence?
What is one way that I could show that I appreciate Sean today?
Because I heard, like, appreciation, respect, like, you know, what he's bringing to the table. You know, he's out working. I mean, he's literally saving lives, right? So when you see Sean, what's the mantra in your head? What can I do to make him feel appreciated?
Yeah.
Right? And again, it could be little, it could be big. It's however you want to express that. That's not on you. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So the homework, and this is the first week, the homework is throughout the week, pull from that mantra. You guys have just said to each other, and I'm a witness of this, that here's what I need. Here's what I need. And I knew it was hard for Sean to say it. And Jenny, even for you, I think it's difficult to actually say that out loud. We all minimize our needs and put our needs aside and all that, especially when there's children involved. So just to say it, I think, out loud, I think is therapeutic in itself. That's only 50% of this. The other 50% is now, how are you guys each other going to help fulfill that, right? How are you guys going to hold that kind of space so those needs can be met? That's going to produce the relationship glue, and that's going to change the dynamic of the relationship. Where, because the goal is basically for Jenny to feel seen, Sean to feel appreciated. So if that starts happening, if Jenny starts to feel seen, right, all the millions of ways that Sean, you do that in this relationship, and if Sean starts to feel more appreciated in this relationship, it feeds off each other. And you guys are going to feel closer. You guys are going to connect more. You guys are going to have, then you guys are going to kind of naturally just go above and beyond because you feel seen and appreciated, right?
Yeah.
So that's the homework for this week is, Sean, asking yourself the mantra, how can Jenny feel more seen? And then Jenny, how can Sean feel more appreciated? Let's just do that, right? Just that. And, I would like to catch up with you guys next week and see how that was. You know, when you ask couples to do too many things, they do nothing. And so let's just start with that. And I want to thank you guys again for just being real. What you guys are talking about, by the way, if it helps, is so common and it's happening all around us. And one of the things that I really appreciate about this conversation and you guys having the courage to share your story is someone listening or watching will be like, this is exactly how I feel. Like, I feel like Jenny just verbalized what I'm going through. And vice versa also for Sean, you know. I think we live in a time with men being very confused, old blueprints, what's the new man? You know, we're supposed to be vulnerable. And then we've got, you know, things that we're subconsciously probably chasing from parents and also women, motherhood, new, two kids. I mean, no one teaches us how to do any of this shit, right? The loss of the village, identity, hormones, you know, it's all of this stuff. So we're all going through this. We're all going through this. I have my version of this as well. So thank you guys so much today for meeting with me.
Thank you.
Let's try to do this the same time next week, or I'll email you guys. Or can you email me, please? Just because I'm
I have ADD. And
yeah.
We'll
so that's the homework.
Sure.
That's the homework.
Okay.
So you guys have 1 week to do this homework, and we'll talk about that and Revelations next week.
Awesome.
Beautiful.
Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you.
You.
Be well.
Do we hang up now?
Yes, hang up. Sorry.
Bye.
Bye. Okay, so this is the part where we could call it case notes. We could call it afterthoughts. First, I just want to thank Sean and Jenny for just being honest and sharing their relationship and stories. I mean, it takes a lot of courage to do that. I thank them. You know, as I was doing this session, I was thinking about my own life and I started to feel guilty because I started to review, and you know, all therapists do this because yes, we're listening and we're being present, but of course we're also thinking about ourselves. When Jenny said, I want to be seen, and you know, if you can just take more initiative, basically, right? I don't want to have to ask for things. I thought about my own relationship, and I know that that's what Vanessa wants as well. And so many times I've been on the couch, you know, not doing when I could be doing, and then blaming it on, oh, well, you didn't ask me, right? So just a reminder, it was kind of a cold shower for me on all the ways that I could show up more and take the mental load. And I got to say, you know, it's all new for me. When you have a child, you have to start adulting. You know, so before children, because I had a child of 47, yeah, I paid my taxes and, you know, I was responsible as a citizen, but having a child is some next level shit. And I wasn't ready for all the changes, sacrifices, the teamwork, you know, mental load wasn't a concept I was familiar with. And so I'm just learning this shit now. And I know it takes practice, but I think generally speaking, a lot of mothers in this world feel very invisible, unseen, unappreciated. They also feel very alone and they're struggling with identity. I think it's also a generational thing. You know, these things weren't talked about in the 50s. With our parents, we basically just numbed with alcohol. You know, we just went to church on Sundays and kept it inside, right? Today, we're finally speaking about it, which is great. And what's coming out isn't new. It's always been there. It's always been there as humans. But I think this is a generation that's going to change some things. So, and then for men, you know, new definitions of men. I grew up, you know, the man takes his briefcase and goes to work and never comes home, right? And plays with his kids a little bit. But, you know, I never saw my dad doing the dishes, folding laundry. I've never seen my dad ask my mom how he could take more responsibility with the mental load, right? My dad used to yell to my mom to get him a glass of water, right? And so we're coming from that generation. And of course, not all dads were like that. But so we're having to relearn things, you know? And that is hard. That takes time. And the older you get, the harder it becomes, you know? Because as you get older, it's like the cement dries. And so I'm not saying that as an excuse for me to not change, but we get set in our ways, if you will. And so anyway, I know so many people are going to relate to Sean and Jenny's story, but what a lovely couple. And also, man, as a therapist, I didn't spot any defense. And this is such a great sign when it comes to couples. They're just loving and kind. And maybe they have forgotten. And I know that we're in a session, so we're not, you know, seeing what happens day to day with stress and anxiety and all this stuff. But no one was defensive. And to me, that's one of the greatest signs of hope that a relationship can be rebuilt. Anyway, thank you for listening. If you want to see these episodes, check out my YouTube at The Angry Therapist, and you could see us in session. Be well.